The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Peter King Podcast. Isn't this supposed to be the dead period on the NFL calendar? Doesn't feel too dead to me. But we're going to catch up with three players in the National Football League who I think many of you really like. We're going to hear from Minnesota wide receiver Justin Jefferson, then Carolina running back Christian McCaffrey, trying to come back from a banged up year, and then Austin Eckler of the Los Angeles Chargers. A player-packed podcast this week. Just so that you know, I recorded these during Super Bowl week. They oftentimes make players available. The cost of making players available is mentioning a product. So we mention the product and we get to have 15 minutes with Christian McCaffrey. I like the trade. Anyway, before we get into our player pod this week, I wanted to talk about two events that are sort of hanging over the NFL right now. One, J.J. Watt. What will happen to J.J. Watt? Okay, so let's go back for a moment and talk about. So it didn't really seem that J.J. Watt in his goodbye message was all that warm and fuzzy about the Houston Texans. And I really think in the last year or so, J.J. Watt has grown tired of playing for the Houston Texans. He did not think they were on the right path to building a Super Bowl team, even though they had a franchise quarterback. And I believe he pushed this very hard early in this offseason. And finally, the owner of the Texans, Cal McNair, and his mom, Janice McNair, who's the widow of Bob McNair, the team founder, basically said to him last week, okay, we're going to release you. Good luck. Thanks for everything. But it was just a weird kind of walking on eggshells release where you didn't hear much. This franchise will be in my blood till the day I die. No, I mean, and so that is probably going to take a little bit of smoothing over the years. But let's get to the current business of J.J. Watt. And the current business is, where will he go? Where does he want to go? Where might he go? You know, one of the problems with Watt, I think, is that there aren't a lot of teams that might want him that have a lot of cap room. Indianapolis is one. Indianapolis has some significant cap room. Many of the teams that I think would really like to have J.J. Watt are really in cap trouble, like the Green Bay Packers, like the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs love veteran players. And I think there are other teams that are very interested in him that I'm not sure he'd be interested in. Let's just look at two teams right now that may have some interest in J.J. Watt. Okay, one is the Green Bay Packers. Now, the interest might be more on Watt's part than on the Packers' part. They're not a team and haven't been a team over the years that has taken, you know, 30-something players. Watt will play at age 32 in 2021. And the Packers really haven't done that. They did it with Charles Woodson, but it was a little bit of a different story. He was 30 years old. They knew that he had some really good years left. And one of his good years ended up being a Super Bowl winning year. Another one of his good years turned out to be a defensive player of the year. So I think Watt is a little bit different. He's on the tail end, 2 years, maybe three, and who knows at what level. But I think the one thing about the Packers is that I think J.J. Watt would tell his agent, look, I don't care how it, if they're interested at all, that's where I want to go. I really sense that that's one of the places where I think he'd want to go. I think the Buffalo Bills would be interested. The Bills have cap room, and I do think they would be interested. But the other team I wanted to talk about is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, a friend of Watt's told me last Friday when this deal all went down, you know, I'm not so sure about JJ going to Pittsburgh. He would feel in some ways, you know, like he was taking all the air out of his room. That's his brother's team. So I don't know. We'll see. The Tennessee Titans general manager, John Robinson, said today, as I record this on Tuesday, February 16, the day before this podcast will drop, that they have had some contact with JJ Watt. And look, there is no secret that that Tennessee is desperate for a pass rush. Paid big money last year for Vic Beasley and for Jadeveon Clowney, and got zero sacks and a lot of injuries and a release of Beasley out of those two guys. So I'm sure they will be interested. So those are some of the teams I think you should watch. Now, secondly, let's talk for a minute about Carson Wentz and what might be happening with the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. So I said on Pro Football Talk this week, you know, everybody is saying, hey, what happened to Wentz? Why isn't Wentz getting done? And, you know, Mike Florio and I talked about it at some length, and I said, there's 30 days left before anything has to happen. You don't have to do this now. If you're Howie Roseman and you don't have a golden ticket offer, you know, like Detroit got from the Rams, what's the hurry? Why trade them now? Wait until teams, you know, are looking at a deadline and then say, okay, what's your best offer? And I think the other part of this, the two very logical teams, obviously, are Indianapolis. There's no question the Colts are interested. And also the Chicago Bears. And, you know, I think what you're finding right now is everybody just automatically assumes that the Bears and the Colts would be willing to trade their first round picks, which are back to back, 20 for the Bears, 21 for the Colts. And they assume that they would just trade them plus maybe a sweetener to get Carson Wentz. But I can just tell you the attitude right now around the NFL when it comes to Wentz. Not only is he the 35th out of 36 rated quarterbacks among qualifiers in 2020, players who played enough in 2020 to qualify for the passer rating title, he's 35th out of 36, only 1/10 of a point ahead of number 36, Sam Darnold. But it isn't only that. That they're not really sure what kind of player he is. But they've all heard the stories. You know, he didn't take coaching well at the end, that he had a bad attitude when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. And so I think this is not a crystal clear and clean quarterback prospect to trade for. You're not going to trade for Carson Wentz and go to bed that night thinking, we just traded for the quarterback of our team for the next 10 years. In an ideal world, I could see that happening. But I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen, sometime before the start of the league year, 1 month from right now, sometime in before the start of the league year, I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles will get either a first round pick or two twos for Carson Wentz. Quite honestly, right now, I'd probably rather have the two twos, because so many players are going to be drafted with so many questions surrounding them high in the draft. Maybe they opted out of their last years in college. Maybe their teams only played a 6 or 7 game schedule. They haven't really seen much of them for a year or so. So to me, I'd almost rather have two twos. So let's get to our conversations right now. We're going to start off with Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings, who had an incredible rookie year, 1,400 yards receiving, and really made the trade of Minnesota to Buffalo when Minnesota traded Stephon Diggs and Buffalo traded back a slew of draft choices, including this first round pick, which turned into Justin Jefferson. That really turned out to be a great trade for both teams, including the Minnesota Vikings. So here is Justin Jefferson. So happy to be joined on the podcast by, and he doesn't know this yet, but until about week 13 this year, he was going to be my offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. But he ended up finishing second on my ballot to Justin Herbert, another Justin. But Justin, I think your rookie year was absolutely sensational. It's been a long time since I've seen a rookie wide receiver just come into the NFL like you've played there for 6 years. So anyway, first of all, congratulations on your year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's start, and we'll get to your to the reason why you're here in a moment. But let's just start by just getting to the point of what a weird year 2020 was. The weirdest year that players who've played in the NFL for 15 years have had, because you're not at practice as much. You're not in the classroom as much. You're doing it by Zoom, all that stuff. Tell me about how difficult a year this was to have, especially when you're a rookie.
It was very difficult. Just the things that we didn't get to do that a lot of NFL players had got to do before. As an example, you know, going to the NFL draft, you know, that definitely is one of the things that is a dream for a lot of guys, especially that get drafted on the first day. So didn't really get to do that. We had to learn the playbook on Zoom. So that definitely was difficult. I never had to do that before in my life. So I definitely had to really, you know, buy into what I was learning and had to figure out a way to learn over Zoom. So all of those stuff definitely was difficult to do. And to say that I still had the season that I had, it was a true blessing. I couldn't ask for any more and be on a better team.
You know, so that people kind of understand a little bit about this, I thought one of the most interesting things that happened this year in the NFL was when the Cleveland Browns had to play a playoff game and their head coach was in his basement back in Cleveland and the team is playing in Pittsburgh and he's watching on TV. And one of the people who works for the team said, yeah, it was obviously crazy, but it wasn't as bad as people thought. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, well, on Saturday, we get to Pittsburgh for the playoff game. We go to the hotel. And usually in an average year, y'all go to the ballroom and have your meeting. Maybe you have a team meal. You have a snack after your meeting, everything like that. And you're seeing everybody. But in this particular year, Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, is sitting back home in his basement in Ohio, and he runs the Saturday night meeting from his basement. But because everybody is doing the meeting on a Zoom, all Kevin Stefanski is, he's the same square that he always is for one of these meetings. So even though he's 130 miles away, you really don't notice that. That's the kind of stuff that you guys had to get used to this year.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's kind of hard to bring that energy, bring that excitement, you know, when we doing stuff like that. You know, we would love to have, you know, the coach right there and we all together being a fundamental team, you know what I'm saying? Just connecting as a team whole before the game. But, you know, a lot of stuff has changed. A lot of stuff has changed. And I mean, that's just something that we have to get through. You know, it's just a barrier in the way and we just got to find a way to jump it.
I want to get to two things in your rookie year. I was, you know, as I sit and watch all the games, some of every game,
first time I really noticed you this year was the third game of your season. You guys play Tennessee at home. It ended up becoming kind of a famous game because that was after that game. Tennessee has all these people come down with COVID. Yeah. And you guys don't really have a COVID problem, which really educated a lot of people at the top of the NFL that COVID spread doesn't happen through these little short bursts of competition. Yeah. But the reason why I thought the game was noticeable, especially for you, you're 21 years old. This is your third game in the NFL. And you go up against, a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year. 7 catches, 175 yards, 1 touchdown. And I just kept, when I was watching that game, I watched a lot of that game. It was a great game. You guys lost, but it was a great game. And what I remember about it saying is, how does this guy just look like he belongs? He's 21 years old. This is his third game in the NFL. And it looks, I don't want to say easy, but it looked pretty damn easy for you. And so I would just ask you, take me back to that game that day and tell me what you were feeling that day and why you think you had so much success.
Well, it really started that Monday before, reaching that game. Coach Coob had called me that Monday afternoon or something like that, and said that he was going to give me the opportunity to start. So, me just being excited I am, I definitely had to make the most of that opportunity. So, in practice, just showing them that, they can count on me to know the plays and to make those plays when it comes to me. And Coach Coop called the right plays that game, and Kirk gave me the opportunities to go out there and make those big plays. And that's what I did. And I mean, me just being a fit receiver pick, I definitely had to make the most of that opportunity. I had to show the world that I'm able to play on this level, and I can be a dominant player on this level.
You obviously come from major college, having played at LSU. Your last year at LSU, obviously you played with Joe Burrow, which, I mean, watching that team in 2019, that looked like an NFL team to me. More than any offense that I ever remember watching in college football, that offense seemed to be an NFL offense. Your deep strike capability throughout the game, throughout those games with Burrow. And so I just want to ask you, do you think playing at that level with, obviously with a guy who then went on to the NFL and Joe Brady as your offensive coordinator now with Carolina, and then going catching balls from the first pick in the draft, Joe Burrow, do you think that helped your transition to the NFL?
100%. Having Coach Joe Brady coming in with a pro-style offense, going to the combine, being asked, about concepts and about routes, I knew majority of it. I pretty much had every single scheme down packed. It just was different terminologies that NFL teams use. So having a year head start than everybody else in the college level, it kind of played out perfectly. And having Joe Burrow, throw to me and me getting 1,500 yards, that was just the start of it. He helped me reach to the first round. And I'm definitely grateful for him to come to LSU and bring the skills that he had to LSU.
People always wonder this, and they always ask questions like this, which I find totally fascinating. But by the end of your season at LSU, where you're dominating everybody, you're dominating the great teams, you dominated Alabama offensively. And I wonder, have you ever thought, or have you guys ever sat around, did you ever think, man, I wonder what it would be like if we lined up against an NFL team? What do you think? With that LSU team, how would you have done playing in an NFL game?
I feel like we would have did perfectly fine, to be honest. If you really look at it, we had Clyde in the backfield. Clyde is in a Super Bowl. You know, he's doing his own thing. Joe Burrow, he got hurt, but, you know, before he got hurt, he was up for Rookie of the Year. Had me, I'm up for Rookie of the Year now. You got Jamar Chase that's up for top pick in the draft. I got Terrace that's going to also be a top pick in the draft. So there's a lot of guys on our team that went high in the draft and that is going high in the draft that would have been a big part if we would have actually played an NFL team. I feel like we would have did a good job playing an NFL team, though.
Is there a reason why you think that so many receivers right now are so NFL ready when they leave college football?
I mean, not a lot of receivers at that, you know, do that. But, you know, if a receiver come in and do that, I just feel like they know their determination. You know, they have that spark in their mind that something in their lives that puts them over the top, that gives them that extra boost to go out there and just keep performing at a high level. And, you know, me just being with the coaches, being with the players that I have been with at LSU, they just really just got me perfectly ready for the NFL with route running, with being able to catch the ball, with, you know, body control, a lot of stuff that I did at LSU that you know, led on to being the player I am today in the NFL.
Were you a big 7-on-7 player in high school?
We didn't do a lot of 7-on-7s. You know, I was very small in high school at that. I was 170 in high school. wasn't very tall. You know, wasn't very explosive. Wasn't very fast. So when I got to LSU, that's when I really equipped all of those abilities. You know, being able to run fast, being able to catch the ball, running routes. So all of those things came later on in my career. I had to work hard for those things. And they didn't come easily, but you know, as the more determination that I put towards the game, you know, the more I wanted to prove people wrong, you know, the better I got, the more understanding I got of the game. And you know, me just being in the corner with all of these people to help me out, it just came to me easily.
So here's my last football question. LSU has really gotten to have a great fraternity of receivers. And, you know, I notice it's almost like defensive players at Miami, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, Ray Lewis and all those guys. But but what I really think it is I think it has something to do with the way a guy like Jarvis Landry thinks. He's an LSU receiver, obviously, as you know. And Jarvis Landry, if he notices guys on his team are either slacking off in some ways or not doing it, he doesn't care who they are. He doesn't care what position they play. It doesn't matter to him. He is going to jump down their throat. And, you know, there is this kind of this worker ethos among LSU receivers, in my opinion, that really is a great trait for this next level, in that you're so competitive and you're really kind of feisty. I noticed that with you this year. You have no problem with you know, stomping around a little bit and telling everybody, hey, listen, this is big. We got to do this. What is it about, is it LSU, do you think, and what you bring to the NFL from there?
One, yeah, it could be from LSU. You know, all us just being from Louisiana, period. We carry that feistiness, that fire in us. You know, just us just being born and raised with it. You know, we always have that attitude and you know, that eager to go out there and just perform in our best ability. But it also has to do with the love that we have for the game. You know, I know Jarvis, I know Odell, you know, they love the game. Just like me, I love the game. So, you know, me going out there losing is not an option. You know, we want to win. We want to go out there and just put on the best show for ourselves and for the people watching. So if it takes us getting on the starting quarterback that's been there for years, or if it takes us getting on the lineman for something, you know, that's just what it has to be. That's called leadership, and that's the only way that you're going to get far in your career.
It's amazing that you're 21 years old, you know, and you're talking like that. It's kind of cool. So you come to us today from M&M's. You're representing M&M's, and I'm a little bit of an M&M-aholic, as I think most people in the United States are. But I wanted to ask you, when you're a kid, so were you an M&M's guy as a kid? Were you a candy bar guy as a kid? Did you have a sweet tooth? What's your introduction to M&M's?
I liked M&M's. M&M's is one of my favorites. I always remember buying M&M's, or, you know, getting M&M's for Halloween, and, you know, just killing them as soon as I see them. So, you know, M&M has definitely been good with just working with them and just being a part of what they have going on. You know, we're trying to bring excitement to the world, connect people all around the world. So, you know, a lot of things have been happening over this past year that has been devastating. So we're just trying to put some smile on people's faces and, you know, just have a little fun with it. Also, that we have a new store in Disney Springs, too, that a lot of people got to check out. It's fun. And I think a lot of people will enjoy
it. So maybe people, you know, for people who listen to this, who might be going to the Super Bowl, they can just take a little drive over from Tampa and go to the new M&M store and become very happy immediately.
Immediately, as soon as they walk into the store, they see all the M&Ms, they definitely will be happy immediately.
Justin Jefferson, really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks to you. Thanks to M&M's for making you available to us. And man, I'll tell you, you're going to have a fabulous career. It's really fun to watch you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
And now my conversation with the rehabbing and very determined Christian McCaffrey of the Carolina Panthers. Back in the podcast, happy to be joined by Christian McCaffrey, Carolina Panthers running back, obviously. And Christian, I know you're here representing Ascent Protein, and that's one of the reasons why I was going to ask you a little bit about one thing with Tom Brady and his long life in football. And he told me a couple of years ago when he was 26 years old and he would wake up in the morning after a football game and even two or three days after, he'd feel so lousy. And it wasn't all diet, but it was some diet. And some of it was, you know, how he was taking care of himself already at that point. And he basically felt like, I'm going to last as long as I can in this thing, but am I going to be sore every day like this? I don't want to be sore every day. So tell me a little bit about, I know you were maniacal
about your body the way Brady is. And tell me about your lessons that you've learned from things like protein, diet, pliability, workouts, and all that.
Yeah, I think when you, you know, when you talk about high caliber athletes, you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, their physicality, speed, strength, and all that. But, you know, as you get older and older and as you, you know, experience more football, recovery, I think, ends up becoming the most important factor. I think Tom's a great example of that. But it's also a reason why I trust in a, you know, protein like Ascent. And, you know, I think it's a company that I've been using for 2 years, and I've just found results. You know, when I work out hard, you know, and I take, you know, their protein, I feel good the next day. I don't feel like that a whole lot. And obviously, you know, you're going to get bumps and bruises here and there when it comes to football. But, you know, to your point, waking up and feeling like, you know, the things that you're putting in your body are, you know, it's positive fuel. That matters as well, you know, so just knowing that there's no artificial flavors, no artificial sugars, and, you know, all of its real ingredients, just gives me confidence that, you know, I'm fueling my body with the right stuff.
I once asked Brady, this is like 3 years ago, I said, don't you want to go out sometime and have like 9 beers with your, with your buddies? And he goes, he said, Peter, I've done that before, you know, and it's fun, but this is a lot more fun. So, yeah. I mean, until I can't do this anymore, I may do that again one day. And you know, he probably will. But he you know, he found his thing in life that he absolutely loves. And so he's going to be absolutely 100 miles an hour toward it every day. How about you? Do you ever lapse? Do you ever go out and have a Shake Shack chicken sandwich, you know, or something like that? What do you do if you really feel like eating junk food?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think everyone does here and there. You know, and I think, you know, obviously, you know, you mentioned what Tom said. You know, Tom was probably referring to when he was my age, 24. So hopefully I can start saying, oh, I've done that, because, you know, I've definitely, you know, relapse, so to say. And, you know, I've had my fair share. I mean, I'm a sucker for Doritos, you know, and I just love, you know, sometimes every once in a while, giving myself a day where I can, you know, eat whatever I want, or, you know, have a drink here and there, whatever. But I think the biggest thing too, is it's a reminder of how good you feel when you don't do that stuff. And so for me, you know, the more hits you take and the more you go through this league, it's so important to take every step of the way and take care of yourself, because, you know, like you said, as fun as that stuff is, you have the rest of your life to do it, and winning is much more fun, for sure. So you know, I definitely resonate with that, and it's something that, you know, as my career continues and having football taken away from me this year and kind of catching an injury bug, that's it kind of, you know, refueled my love, so to say. Not that I ever lost any, but it, you know, I think sometimes you have to have something taken away from you to realize how much you love it. So, you know, I'm kind of already getting the bug to go back and play. I'm kind of really excited, you know, for next year already.
So for those who know you were hurt a little bit this year, let's just run over a couple of things. In your first 3 years in the NFL, you never missed a game. You played 48 games. And then this year, 2020, you only played 3 games. You had 3 distinct injuries. And I wonder, when you look back on it now, was it in any way a heavy workload from the first 3 years, where you averaged 312 touches a season? Was it in any way that, or do you believe that it was just bad luck?
You know, I don't like to think that any past years are the reason for anything. And I think when you look around different players in the league who have experienced injuries, some of them will have season ending injuries in the first game and play 15 more years. So some of the, you know, that noise, and then, well, it's because they're giving them too many carries. You know, well, I look at a guy like Emmitt Smith, who played, you know, double digit years in his 10th year and all that. He was an animal. And he had a lot of carries, and, you know, he's experienced injuries, and Adrian Peterson to, tore his knee all the way and then was the MVP of the league the next year. And, Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone and everyone's forgotten about that. So that's kind of something that for me is encouraging to see, not just running backs, but quarterbacks, receivers who have gotten hurt and come back and had, career years for the next, six, seven, 8 years. So for me, that's something that I'm fueled by, and whether or not it had anything to do with the previous 3 years, I say, part of it is bad luck. Injuries happen in football. My ankle injury was kind of a freak injury. I didn't even have my foot in the ground. My shoulder, I fell on it just right to separate it. And so it's part of that's the game, and I've played through injuries before. It's not like this is the first time I've been hurt. It's just the first time that I've been hurt to the point where I, physically can't play. And I think that's the frustrating part of this last year was, your mind is in one place and you know what you can do, but your body wasn't responding to that, due to the injury. So, it's something that I've learned from, though, and looking into this off season, I think I have an amazing plan. I trust my plan, and I'm excited for this next year.
What is your plan?
Well, it's long. I mean, I'd bore you if I was, talking about it for like 30.
Give me the Cliff's Notes version of your plan.
Cliff Notes. So I treat it like a few camps a year. When I go into training, like a fighting camp. Those guys for about 10 weeks, they lock in. Their whole life is training, and it's, fueling your body with the right stuff. Obviously, that's why I think Ascent matters so much to me. But, it's the correct fuel, the correct nutrition, the correct sleep, the correct hydration. There's no distractions. There's no vacations. You kind of get that out of the way, and then you lock in. I'll go 4 weeks on, 1 week off, 4 weeks on, 1 week off. That'll get me to OTAs, which is April 19th. And hopefully we have it in person this year. And then after that, I'll have another, 3.5-4 week of a training camp, so to say, before camp. And, some of those weeks are off days. You're not going the whole time. I think that's one thing I've learned is the balance between training and taking care of your body. And a lot of guys in the NFL, it's not a matter of whether they're working hard enough. It might be they're not working smart enough. And I think sometimes working smarter is much harder than the so-called working hard, because you have to find every way possible to maximize your body and really turn it into a machine. And that's the fun part for me, is trying to figure out the master plan into, creating a monster, so to say.
You think you will be more ready opening day this year than you have been in any of your previous years?
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% believe that.
First impressions of Matt Rhule.
Oh, I love Matt Rhule. I think when you think about a head coach, one of the biggest traits you hear is leadership, and I think he has that to a T. And for me, being able to observe from outside in and seeing his way of coaching and to see the results, it was exciting, because you saw young guys who started out here and ended up here, and you saw, veterans who truly bought into what he was saying, and it paid off. And, obviously our record wasn't what it was, but I think that the first step in creating a successful program is getting guys to understand the standard. And, from day one, he never changed. And that's something that as a player, you get excited about, because, obviously you look at his resume and what he's done everywhere else too. And I know he would probably say none of that stuff matters, now matters, but it's true. It holds truth. He's transformed programs. And I think partly I think he'd say the same thing. I don't think it is his football knowledge, because he's got plenty of that, but it's his ability to take guys and from A to B and make them their best self on the football field.
Do you have your season tickets for Northern Colorado's football team?
Absolutely. I'm tapped in. I'll tell you what, I've never been so excited for college football. So my dad's head coach there. My older brother, who was really my idol growing up, he's the receivers coach there. And, he's a guy who, my older brother Max played, four or five years in the NFL and, for a lot of different teams bounced around. But I get all my advice from receiver position from him and my dad. So, they're out there coaching, and my little brother Dylan just committed. So he'll be the quarterback. And, for me as a brother, that's like all you can ask for is, watching all of your family in one place. You know, I'm so used to rooting for this team, this team, this team, this team. You know, having all of them in one spot. I think the coolest thing in my life was watching my dad coach my littlest brother Luke in the state championship his senior year, and they went undefeated and won the state championship. And then, you know, it was just kind of emotional because it's, you know, it's your family and you want to see them all do well. And when they're on the same team, it's and there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. I can promise you, it's not going to be, you know, all sunshine and rainbows in that huddle. But I think that's the beauty of it. I'm really excited.
You got to hope your bye week kind of falls on a Northern Colorado home game. So you get up to Greeley and you watch your brother play quarterback and your dad and your brother coach. And it'd be kind of a cool weekend for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to try to get up there as much as possible. So I definitely can't wait. You know, I'm going to go back to Colorado over a couple weeks and train and, you know, maybe try to train there if they let me. We'll see what my dad does.
I think your father is going to be a good coach, and I remember him well from when he was a player. He was very serious, but nobody played harder than he did. Nobody. He got every ounce out of what he had, and I would assume that's the way he's going to coach his team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think you just described him very well. You know, he puts everything into what he does, and that's, you know, part of the reason why, you know, being his son, and I speak for all my brothers, was so easy because, you know, you look at his commitment to anything he does, and it's, you know, it's unmatched. And I think it's the same with my mom. And that's something to look up to as a kid. And I think you're right. You know, I look back and watch highlights of him playing and you know, there wasn't a play he took off, and favorite thing to do is watch him block, because you know a lot of receivers can catch and run good routes and do stuff with the ball in their hands, but watching him block and just put people down was something that, as a running back, I like, but also just to show that how much pride he took in every single play. So
I really, when I watch you play, I'm not saying I see him. He's a tall, long guy, you know, and obviously you guys play different positions, but your will is the same,
you know,
as your dad. It really is. And he was, I mean, he just would not be denied, you know. Reminds me of all these guys who say, they're going to have to kick me out of the game one day. That's the way your father was. And so the way you play and the way you prepare does not surprise me at all. But anyway, Christian, really appreciate you taking the time and being on the podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. I appreciate it, man.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
And now let's hear from Austin Eckler, the opinionated, fun, talkative running back
of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Austin, I think one of the things that I have gotten into reporting in the last 3 or 4 years is more and more teams and more players are believing now in the science of sleep when it comes to performance. So obviously you're representing Sleep Number, and I'd just like to hear your thoughts on how your attitude towards sleep has evolved as you've gotten going in your career, and how is it different than when you were, say, a college kid?
Right. Yeah, there's quite the difference between that. But yes, I am partnered with Sleep Number today because I do love my Sleep Number bed. And so I'm glad to be representing them today. But my sleep from college to now, back in college, I didn't really worry about a routine. It was just kind of, you know, just sleep when you can, when you have time, just because of class and football basically consumed my entire life. But now, after being in the NFL and, you know, getting a routine and learning how to become a pro, the impact of sleep on your just day has shown me that it can make or break if you having a good day or a bad day. And I say that because I'm a big advocate of health and working out. And so when you're working out and your body breaks down, you're tired, you're stressed, all these things that the NFL presents you, you need time to just rest. And so when you get a good night's sleep, you can wake up, you feel energized. And, you know, with Sleep Number, they have a smart bed, so it adjusts to your body. So I do get amazing sleep, and you can track your sleep with scores. Actually, one of the coolest features I thought with the Sleep Number was it tells you your heart rate. And like, if you're having a dream, you can like see like a spike in your heart rate and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. But no, my sleep has become more routine and more just actually part of my recovery, more so than it used to be like food. Like back in college, it was like, oh, just eat food and your sleep. Yeah, whatever. It's not really talked about as a recovery. But as I've gotten older, talk to more professionals, it's like sleep is more important, I would say, than you're keeping a clean diet, just because you need to be able to come up, wake up in the day, in the morning, and be able to, okay, I'm awake, I'm alert, I can go forward throughout the day and continue to, try to better yourself.
Do you truly feel the difference in your performance from one day to the next if one night, for whatever reason, you might only get 5 hours of sleep, let's say?
Right, and I would say it's more prevalent during the week during practice because I make sure I always get a good night's sleep before the game. If you don't get the best night of sleep before practice and I have to wake up, you know, at 6 a.m. to go do workouts in the morning, I will be a zombie. I'll just be dragging, like just coming in to do my workout. I need my guys to hype me up a little bit. When I get a good right night's rest, I feel like I'm that energy guy and I'm bringing up everybody. And that's the majority of the time. And just, I'm really excited to go work out. But yeah, you definitely can tell the difference between, you know, a good night's sleep and not.
You did a really cool thing partnering with Sleep Number in giving beds to healthcare workers this year. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously there's a pandemic going on and healthcare workers have been overworked and just overloaded with a lot of different responsibilities. And, you know, the NFL and the Chargers are sending healthcare workers to the Super Bowl and providing the 360 smart beds as well. And I mentioned I love my Sleep Number, so I know they're going to love theirs as well. And it's much deserved. And, you know, it's not just football players that are grinding. It's, you know, it's America, and especially healthcare workers during this time. And so for them to get a good night's rest and be alert and ready to go every single day is going to be huge for them. I know they're going to enjoy it.
How different was the 2020 season for you in basically being isolated, learning how to learn in Zoom calls? I mean, basically you must feel like every high school kid in the United States, you know, the vast majority of them now, and even all students, you know, the vast majority of them are learning on Zoom. How was it for you?
I'm just going to come out and say, I'm not a Zoom learner. I have a hard time sitting there on Zoom and trying to actually like learn for hours. Like, cause our meetings aren't just like a 20-minute meeting. It's like, all right, we got an hour here, we got 30 minutes here. Like, it's just like extensive time sitting there. And so it's like to keep your alert and just keep just retain everything and not just like trying to fall off. I hated it. And so as many in-person meetings, social distance as we could, I was trying to do it, but definitely had to learn how to adjust. So I understand what the kids and teachers are going through when they're going through Zooms, and I know it's not ideal for everyone. So hopefully we can start turning it around in a couple of years.
How much mental energy did you have to use in 2020 that in a normal year you wouldn't have had to use?
Yeah, I would say it was more energy, but it was just different, right? So you had to adjust. Just because we weren't going, your routine was different every day. It's because, okay, someone had COVID today. Now we shut down the entire building to clean it. So what you thought you were going to do, now you're doing this. And it was just little stuff like that that continued to pop up. And we had social justice going on too. And so there was all these different things that were just happening at the same time. And so it was kind of like the normal to have unexpected things kind of pop up. And so we were just, basically, it taught us just to, hey, okay, continue to push forward. We know why we're here. We're trying to play football. We're going to do that to our best ability. If things pop up, we'll adjust, we'll deal with them, and then we'll get back to, you know, our job.
I want to ask you two things about 2020 and then one going forward. I thought one of the strangest things that happened all season in pro football was that at the start of the second game of your season, Justin Herbert trotted out and got into the huddle. And I asked him at one point, like later in the year, how weird was that? You know, you don't plan to play the whole week or whatever. It's not like the quarterback got hurt suddenly and you have to run out there. It's this weird, bizarre injury before the game. And now you go out and he goes, and I forget who it was. It might've been Hunter Henry. Looked at him and said, what are you doing here, dude? You know, because it would. So tell me about that moment when Justin Herbert walked onto the field to play for the Los Angeles Chargers.
That is something Hunter would say for sure. But yeah, it was bizarre because I was on the sideline and the team doctor was like looking at Tyrod and he was kind of giving like the, you know, the he's out signal. And I was like, what the heck? And then so, you know, we get the ball first. And so we start jogging out in the field. Then here comes Herbert. And I'm just like, what? Like everyone in the huddle is like looking around like, what happened? Like no one had any idea until after the game, like what happened. And so we're just like, what's going on? And then Tyrod just kept quiet just so we didn't have any distractions. And then, you know, Justin went out there and we're like, all right, well, I guess we're rolling with the young guy. We'll see what he's got. Kind of just rolling the dice, but he ended up having a solid game for his first game ever, I would say, and not preparing to actually play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then basically
is that actually true that most of you guys didn't know exactly what happened until after the game?
We had no idea. Even then, I think it was probably even a couple of weeks before it actually came out, for Tyrod to even talk about it. Obviously it was a sensitive topic, but yeah, it was just bizarre. I've never heard of, you know, that incident.
Yeah. For those who don't know, we're probably assuming that everybody knows that Tyrod Taylor was getting a painkiller before the game, which is not uncommon. And the needle accidentally punctured his lung. And so right. he couldn't play. And he couldn't play for a little while. And by the time he could play again, Justin Herbert was like a national sensation. And right. he was like, you know, candidate for Rookie of the Year. And I'm sure he's going to win Rookie of the Year. But I mean, it was just one of the odd things. And I really wondered, you know, how much you guys knew. And I guess you really didn't know.
We had no idea. We were like, why is Justin Herbert in the game?
Yeah. And
we didn't know until after the game. It's like, oh, wow. And then he basically forced his way in there and then broke all the records.
Yeah. So, you know this because you basically made your mark as a rookie from a guy who was the longest of long shots. And you just kept forcing yourself into the lineup, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder when you watched Herbert for maybe some of the struggles that he had in training camp, you know, I thought Hard Knocks did a really good job of kind of painting some of the struggles that he had with Pep Hamilton, the quarterback coach, and you know, with everybody, Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator. It was a really raw look at how difficult rookie training camp is for a young quarterback. Right. So why did Justin Herbert adjust so quickly and play so well so early?
Ooh, there's a lot of different factors that play into that. I think one is just obviously he has to be dedicated to it, but just his how smart he is. Like, he's a smart kid. That goes back to Oregon where he had like a 4.0. You know, just in general, that's not even football smart. Yeah. That's just, you know, smart in general. But then, you know, his athletic ability, his ability to throw the ball, his ability to move, then the decision making, which I feel like is the most important part as far as playing quarterback, because you can be a pocket passer, you can be a guy that's more agile, but it comes down to the decisions you make and can you actually put the ball in the position you want to be and read a defense. And so I think that's where he excelled is just understanding how football works. He just grew so quickly as far as being able to run the offense. You know, I know, you know, early on our coordinators and Pep tried to make it easier on him, just giving him more simple calls. But he picked it up easily. And then we were able to actually just run our entire offense by the end of the year. And, you know, see, I was obviously injured with my hamstring last year for 7 weeks. But when I first got there, he was like, okay, this guy's a rookie. But when I came back, it was like, all right, Herbert, I see. Like, he's got some confidence, got a little pep in his step. You know, he's out there, you know, barking around. And just like, okay, this kid, you know, he's getting comfortable. So I like that, because now he can just focus on his game and he's not nervous anymore. He's just out there playing ball.
Have you met or chatted with your new coach yet, Brandon Staley?
Yeah, Coach Staley called me, actually. It was kind of unexpected. Well, it was definitely unexpected. I had a random number call me, and I answered him. I'm just like, who the heck? And he's like, hey, it's Coach Staley. And I was like, yeah, what's up, Coach? It was like 2 days after he got hired. And so that was big. I really appreciate him reaching out. And just he kind of was just giving me just, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. We didn't really talk about football. And so I love that, just that relationship, trying to make that connection. Because I just think you can care more and want to play for a guy if he shows you who he is and his passion, not just on football, but just in life.
It's going to be the first time in the career of Austin Eckler that you play for a coach who looks younger than you.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Okay. Listen, I want to end with this, because I think people who don't know basically who you are and about you and about your career. I mean, I think it's the coolest thing that here you are, even though you're not in the Super Bowl, that, you know, you're representing a big American company, you know, Sleep Number, a well-admired company. Right. And that they look at you and say, we want Austin Eckler to represent us. It's a little bit, you've kind of come a long way in 3 years, because in your first training camp, I remember that, you know, Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, was basically, you know, he really didn't know who you were. You were wearing number 3, mm-hmm. which, you know, for those who know, you know, who have even an elementary knowledge of football, running backs in the NFL do not wear number 3.
We actually can't. It's against the rules.
Yeah. But I want to hear the story that you told me this, I don't know, a year or so ago, about how you got Anthony Lynn to notice you.
Yeah. So long story short, it was OTAs, and OTAs were wrapping up and we were about to go home for a month and a half before training camp. And I went up to Anthony Lynn's office. And I was so nervous. I remember just sweating. I remember just trying to talk to this man. I was just so nervous because I'd never talked to him before. And I just jumbled out, like told him like I love his coaching style or something like that. But the real reason I was there was, like, I asked him, what do I need to do to make this team? He didn't even know who I was. He obviously knew I was a player. But he told me, he's like, go see Coach Stu, protect the quarterback and don't fumble. And so basically I got more out of that.
Coach question. Stewart's the special teams coach.
Yeah, Coach Stewart, yeah, my special teams coach. And so that didn't really resonate with him that I went up there and did that until training, like after I made the team. He's like, this kid came up and asked me like what I need to do to make the team. So that kind of showed like I was going on a limb, like I was doing everything I could to make the team. And that's kind of been, you know, my progression to get to this point. I've just been doing everything I can to make an impact on the team and then also in the community. And now helping Sleep Number represent, you know, some beds that are going to be donated to some healthcare workers going down to the Super Bowl.
Austin Eckler, pleasure talking to you. Really enjoyed getting to know you over the last few years. And hopefully you will be back in very good health this year. And I believe that you will be in very good health because you will be well rested, won't you?
That is 100% correct. Thank you, Peter.
All the best to you.
I appreciate you, man.
My thanks to Justin Jefferson, Christian McCaffrey, and Austin Eckler for their time and their thoughts. Hope you got caught up about with a little bit of what's going on in their worlds. So that's it for this week's podcast. Come back next week. We're going to have a little bit more information on what is coming up in this offseason. It's going to be a crazy one. It's probably going to be a virtual one from what we're looking at right now. I doubt it's going to be that much different from 2020. But anyway, the NFL handled it well last year. We'll see how they handle it this year. And thanks a lot for joining me this week on the Peter King Podcast.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.